Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of August, recording at 9:29 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little bit firmer. Japan and Australia had tiny declines. One of the best performers was Singapore. In Europe, we had a little bit of seesaw activity and mixed results near the close. The UK market had the best performance, up 1.38%. That was the the French CAC was up almost 1%. Others, very modest gains or declines. In the Americas, we had a little bit of seesaw activity, and Wall Street settled a little lower here today, down over around 0.25% for the Dow, and the S&P 500 a little more than that for the Nasdaq. Mexico, well, and Brazil showing tiny gains. Long-dated government bond prices were, I just checked, yes, they're a little bit weaker in here today, not least the bunds. Now, the U.S. dollar is somewhat stronger. U.S. dollar index is up to 83.12. The euro is, which had been up to 123.37 at one stage, is currently trading at 122.24. Sterling has also fallen sharply, down to 155.34. And the Aussie's fallen back to 104.57. Precious metals, well, they got clipped in here today. And what was interesting, well, I'll get back to that later. Let's just do the quick review here. Gold is currently at 1600 and a little bit of change. Platinum is down. That's down over 13.5 for gold. Platinum is down 20 in after hours trading at 1396 and change. And silver is down currently 55 cents to 27.36. Industrial metals are lower. Crude oil's a little bit higher, 105 and change for the WTI. The Brent is up 82 cents at 88.88. And grains and beans are down a little bit here today, but well off their lows on the day. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, first, since Mario Draghi's comments last Thursday, I believe, remember he's the European Central Bank president, and he came out with a fairly bold statement about keeping the euro together and what he would do would be enough and so on. Now, that led to a round of short covering. And we've also seen, inevitably, some actual buying in stock markets generally around the globe. And that has pushed a number of European indices and also the U.S. indices to short-term overbought conditions. And I'm talking about very short-term overbought conditions that you can see on the stochastic indicators, which you can create in the chart library. But let's focus on the S&P here, because that also has been up near some psychological and lateral resistance near the 1400 level, And that's the higher side of the range that we've seen for the last couple of years, and these markets have been very much range bound, as you know. Now, currently, we close today at 25 points off that 1400, so at 1375 and change. And as I mentioned yesterday, don't be surprised if we see a pause here and a little bit of a pullback. However, we do want to watch the progressions of rising lows that we have seen on these indices since early June. Now, it's the first in that sequence of rising lows that I feel counts the most, and well, certainly it does in terms of a early indication of deterioration if we see it, and we will see it at some point, whether markets march higher first and form more higher lows along the way, or whether they stall here, whether these rallies stall here over fears of another August effect. Although August is not always bad. For instance, it was pretty good back in 2009, as you may recall, and the charts will show. But the level to watch, as I say, for the S&P, for that initial support level is quite important. We've got two little lows near it, 1325. Now, if that were to go, that would indicate some technical deterioration, and I would be more cautious. Meanwhile, that doesn't have to happen. Markets, but again, say we're short-term overbought, and markets have been discounting further monetary stimulus. And they're discounting some sort of bullish news from the ECB, QE3 from the Fed, more stimulus from China, and that would no doubt help confidence in equities, but we may not get all that. And I've said for quite a while that I felt that the Fed would like to remain on hold, not wanting to do much in an election year, not wanting to show or be seen to be showing favoritism towards one party. And also, they'd like to think that their measures had been enough. But they clearly haven't, in the sense that U.S. growth is slowing, although the data is somewhat mixed, and there are pockets that are doing not too badly and others that are soft. But overall, you distill it all down on a global basis, and growth is slow. And arguably, there are still some risks to the downside before the Asian stimulus measures, which haven't been around for all that long. There's a time lag before they kick in. Because you can remember last year, there was a fair amount of, and at the beginning of this year, they were still in tightening mode, many of them, not all of them, but many. So the impact of that slower GDP growth is that corporate profits are actually coming down overall, and that includes for a number of the autonomies. And incidentally, Owen's done a terrific review, not just of the autonomies, but of the of another number of NASDAQ stalwarts in here today. And I think you'll be interested in that. I think it merits a read, even if you don't invest anywhere near the NASDAQ, because what's happening or what happens in the U.S. market is going to continue to have a big influence on sentiment. Okay, and long-dated government bond prices, well, they're up here in thin air at this altitude. They would firm a little if we were to get a stock market decline that goes beyond those initial support levels from the or breaks, in other words, breaks beneath the initial or most recent rising lows. But I do think that the Bond Bulls have been complacent here for a while. And we have abnormally low interest rates at a time when governments are just increasing and increasing their debt. And that suggests that we're going to see a reversion back to some sort of normalcy in terms of yields at some point in the future. Now, whether that's several years down the road or much sooner is very much a matter for debate. The markets will eventually show us, of course, but I think that when we're at record levels, one should not be complacent about the speed with which markets can reverse from those levels. Okay, on to the U.S. dollar, and I wonder if this firmness is signaling a little increase in anxiety among investors. We will see, but the action in precious metals today was quite sharp to the downside, and actually it was a day of just very minimal activity, and then within the space of about 5 minutes, we saw gold drop about $20 at one stage. Now, that's the elephant in the room, known as quantitative, I beg your pardon, not quantitative, it's the elephant in the room known as high frequency trading. Very much an HFT influence on the markets. And that has checked the rallies. We're still range bound with gold showing the better overall pattern within this ranging, and it's in terms of upward dynamics and maybe a little bit more support underneath. But the fact remains that we have not seen these precious metals break up out of their ranges. In fact, gold has today backed away from the higher side of its range overall. I do still feel that this is most likely to be a support building phase, but as I've mentioned every time I've said that, that won't be proven until we see the establishment of a new upward trend, albeit within this current range. But that hasn't happened yet. And therefore, those who have been expecting or calling for a break out of the downside of these ranges for precious metals, that view is certainly in with a chance. Although I suspect that the longer we see sideways ranging activity here into August and let alone September, then the odds will shift more, well, steadily in favor of the bulls on these precious metals. And from the standpoint of people who are invested in bullion funds, which is certainly my preferred way for participating in these markets rather than the gold shares, which I regard as much riskier, starting with the fact that they're wasting assets. But I don't think the investors in bullion need to worry too much about downside risk, and that overall the probability is that we have well, my markets can be prone to volatility. While we could see a temporary punch to the downside, that in terms of the next big move, my feeling is very much that there should be considerably more potential to the upside than the downside for gold, not least because of the historically low interest rates and excessive aggressive money printing that that continues. And other items of interest, well, the grain and bean complex, these prices are still quite high due to that U.S. drought. The best that can be said is that they have paused, or at least the rallies have slowed near prior resistance levels. And hope you're enjoying the Olympics. Meanwhile, all the best.